about 11th grade. I was in economics class, and the teacher there, he was to the point. He taught his lesson, he was done, and he let us have free time. And so for free time, I took a nap because I needed it. Because I'm that kind of guy that would wake up at like 2 in the morning every day just so I could walk to school up hills both ways. I needed economics naps. And when I slept in class, I used my arm as a pillow. How many arm pillowers do we have in the house? Yeah, I slept like that right there. So the bell would go off, a friend would disturb me, a girl would call me. The last part was actually a lie. And because back then they didn't have cell phones. Girls called me all the time, I mean, just by my name. But I'd wake up and my arm would be numb. It would be asleep. There would be no feeling, no sensation. I was like, oh, what's going on? I later had learned that the lack of blood flow to the arm would cause numbness. I also had learned many other forms of other ways to cause numbness, and then that is the repetition of any action. I had a friend who worked at Honda, the car factory in Ohio, and he would just drill holes into all the doors. And he would do it for 8 hours a day, and he would tell me that when he'd come home, he'd have to pry his hand open, massage it, and get the feeling to come back, because for all day he would just drill bolts into his door over and over and over and over, and his hand got numb. There was no feeling, no sensation. And this morning, my challenge with this message, as we wrap up our series in Splash, is that some of us may be numb to the topic. Numb to express love, to live love. Because the Bible has told us to love, because there's another sermon about love, because the preacher's talking about love again. Love, 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 love. This morning, my angle is not going to be express love. It's going to be a little bit different. The main point is you are who you are, but He is who He is. You are who you are, but He is who He is. You may struggle with loving others. You may be numb to love. Another sermon about love. But He is the expression of love. He is love. And He loves you. Amen? Let's pray. Father, this is your word. These are your people, and I am your servant. Help us to communicate your truth with love. In your name we pray. Everybody says, amen. If you have your Bibles, you can go ahead and turn to John chapter 13. John chapter 13. And let's walk through the entire chapter together, yes? In verse 1, Jesus is preparing for the Passover feast or the Passover celebration. This is a big deal for the Jewish culture. But what I want to note is that this isn't just some feast or some meal. This is Jesus and his 12 disciples. Jesus and his 12 companions, his closest ministry partners who he had traveled with for 3 years. Now, that's important. Just want you to remember, this is important. Passover. In the second verse, we have Judas. Judas is prompted by the devil to betray Jesus. And then Jesus goes on to prepare for the washing of the feet. He conducts the washing of the feet. He finishes the washing of the feet. And when he's done washing feet, he goes on to call out Judas. Someone is going to betray me. Judas, it's you. And go do what you got to do. Now, the story is not, our message today is not about Judas, so we're not going to spend a lot of time on all those details. But Jesus goes on to mentor the other 11. It says, I have a new command for you. The command is to express love. I am the expression of love. I have showed you how to love. I am love. All that I am asking you guys to do is to express love. Because I'm not going to be around that much longer. I have to leave. And this is where we begin to jump in a little more, get a little deeper. Because in verse 36, Peter's like, what? What's going, where are you going? Well, do we get to go? Why not? Well, I'll do anything. I will die for you. Now, I pause for a moment and I imagine how this would flush out for me. It'd be like Pastor Nick coming into a staff meeting and say, I'm going skydiving today, guys, and I might not come back. And I'm like, whoa, what, huh? Do you want me to go up into the plane and just jump out for you? Because I'm not really going to do that. Because there's no way I'm jumping out of a plane. I will take a bullet for you, Pastor Nick. I will jump in front of a train for you, but you can jump out of a plane by yourself. I'm not afraid of heights. I'm not afraid of falling. I'm afraid of what happens when you hit the ground. So, I'm going to fall over that later. I'll kick it a little farther just in case. Now, Jesus responds. Verse 38 says this. Die for me? ? I tell you the truth, Peter, before the rooster crows tomorrow morning, you will deny me 3 times. Let's read it again. Die for me? ? I tell you the truth, Peter, before the rooster crows tomorrow morning, you will deny me 3 times. So let's recap. First, we have a Passover celebration that's pretty important with your buddy-buddy system all in one room having a good old time celebrating the Passover. Then Jesus predicts that Judas will betray him, calls him out, and he leaves the room. Then Jesus confronts Peter's future failure. What failure is that? That he's going to make a mistake, that he's going to drop the ball, that he's not going to own up, that he's going to be a joker. Peter says, I will die for you. I will do this for you. Jesus says, no, that's not going to happen. In fact, you're going to mess up 3 times before the morning comes. You're going to fail. You're going to mess up. You're going to be a joker. You're going to punk out on me. 3 times before morning even comes. Here's what happens next. Period. Next chapter. What's that about? Look at it. It's verse 38. Period. Then it goes to chapter 14. What's that about? Where's the expression of love? Where's this loving God part? You're going to deny me, and that's pretty much the story. 3 times, you joker. Period. Next chapter, let's move on. Every few years, my dad will take vacations, and he will come and visit our family on a lucky year. And there was 1 year he came, and I had the opportunity to present the message like this with him in attendance. And as you can imagine, I'm the kind of guy that does not enjoy preaching in front of other pastors, especially if they are way better than me or have 50 years over me. So I am terrified right now because Pastor Nick's in the house. He's way better preacher than me. So that's funny. It's okay to laugh. Good. So my dad's there. I knew he was going to be there. And so I was like, oh, dad's coming. He's got like 40 years of ministry. He's never heard me preach in a full-time set. Yeah, yeah. So I got ready. I diligently prepared. I researched. I studied. I got cool illustrations. I practiced my preacher voice, yada, yada. And then I did the whole message. People were getting saved. Dead people were rising. It was awesome sermon, right? I walked out like, yeah, that was sweet. I was the preacher today. Yes. Yeah, I was all over it. I was all confident. And I finally found Dad. Dad, did you see the dead man rise? And he did the steeple, eventually folded down. I'm curious, Ron. Was the message about Jesus or was it about Becca? Because you talked awful a lot about Becca. And I kind of just was like, you didn't see the dead man rise? That's it. No encouragement, no feedback, no follow-up, no positives. And that's kind of what I attest to in this passage. Peter, you're going to deny me three times. You're going to mess up. You're going to make mistakes three times before the sun even comes up. You're going to punk out on me. Period. That's it. Where is this loving God aspect in the story? Where is the expression of love in the Bible? Well, if we dig deeper, let's dig a little deeper. Some of you may not know this. Some of you do know this. But just the fact that I'm going to remind you of it, it's going to be like, oh, that makes sense. When the Bible was first written, there were no chapters and verses. It was just a book and paragraphs. Let me say it again. When the Bible was first written, there were no chapters and verses. It was just books and paragraphs. So, turn to chapter 14, verse 1. Chapter 14, verse 1. This is the next sentence. It's not the next story. It's not the next day. It's not the next book. It is the next sentence. Amen? So, we have verse 38. Die for me, question mark. I tell you the truth. Peter, before the rooster crows tomorrow morning, you will deny me three times. Next sentence. But don't let your heart be troubled. Trust in God. And trust also in me. There was more than enough room in my Father's house. If this were not so, would I have told you that I'm going to prepare a place for you? When everything is ready, we'll come and get you so that you will be with me where I am. You're going to deny me three times. Verse 38. But I'm going to prepare a place so that we can be together. Be encouraged. Because I love you. Verse 38. You're a joker. You mess up. You make mistakes. Verse 1. Be encouraged. I still want to be with you. Verse 38. You are who you are. It is in your nature to sin. To turn your back on me. But verse 1, I am who I am and I love you. I am the expression of love. There's nothing you can do to change how much I love you. There's nothing you can do to deviate from my love. I love you. You can deny me. You can turn your back on me. You can sin. You can do it three times before morning comes. But I, and who I am, I love you. This morning, it's not about expressing love. But it's understanding that there is a God who expresses his love to you. It's unconditional. It's full. God loves you. There are occasions where I'm playing with Morgan or I am not playing with Morgan. And for whatever reason, my little Morgan is just not happy with Daddy. And I'm like, you know, do you want to do this with me? No! I don't like you right now. Right? That's sad. I don't want to talk to you right now. And sometimes I'm not sure what to say, but Becca and I have begun to make it more of a habit to say, it's okay, because we love you. There's nothing that you can say at this moment or do in this moment to change the fact that I'm always going to love you, Morgan. And the same is true with your God. There's nothing you can do to change the fact that He loves you. He is the expression of love. You are who you are. You will make mistakes. But He is who He is. Amen? And He is love. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that if any were to believe, none shall perish, but have everlasting life. This is love, that a man may lay down his life for another. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength. But love is patient, love is kind. It doesn't envy, it doesn't boast, and it goes on because He is love, the ultimate expression of love. And if you miss anything else all this morning, you need to hear this. As Matt and little Liotta has come to learn, their God loves them, and your God loves you. You are who you are. He is who He is, and He is love. Some application this morning. John's going to come up here in a moment, and he's going to help me out with some background music. It's easier to express love after you have accepted love. And that's kind of why I've chosen to come from this angle rather than just talk about express love, express love, express love, another message about love. Because it's easier to love the woman of your dreams when she has loved you in return. It's easier to love your pastor as a buddy friend, pal, when he loves me back. I love you, man. It's easier to express love after you have accepted the love. So, a few things you can do. One, wash feet. Wash feet. Now, we're not going to really touch feet, so, because there's some feet in here. So that's a whole other sermon, different day. But the principles here are from verse 15. And Jesus is actually saying, can we have the passage, please? It's up there. I have given you an example to follow. Do as I have done to you. And really what's happening is Jesus is serving. He's lowering his standards or lowering his stature in order to serve his disciples. As an example of love, because He is the expression of love. You are who you are, but He is who He is. Number two, love each other. Verse 34 and 35. So now I am giving you a new commandment, to love each other just as I have loved you. You should love each other. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. So, it makes a big testimony when I'm having a fit or an argument with, let's say, Pastor Nick, in front of a non-believer, as opposed to when we're laughing or hugging or not being weird, but expressing love. And a lot of times, non-believers refuse to be a part of what we call church because of how we act with one another. But we are known by our fruit and how we behave amongst one another is a testament of who we serve and who we follow. Amen? Number three. Take your next step. Take your next step. Here at Calvary, we believe in growth, and we take action steps towards growth. we are here to lead you into an overflowing life with Christ. We are not satisfied with pew warmers or stagnant church or stale environment. We want growth. We want a growing environment that moves forward, that pushes ahead. And so you may be in a phase in your spiritual walk where the next step is to experience God through worship or getting baptized. Or maybe you're in a phase where your next step is to embrace life by joining a life group or getting plugged in with other types of relationships within the church community. But maybe you're at this step where it's time to express love. And we do that through Calvary Cares. We support local missions. We also do that through local or on-site activities, outreaches, and events. But we also do that by offering you the opportunity to wash feet, so to say. We offer you the opportunity to use your giftings and your skills in order to serve the people around you as well as the community of Calvary. So you may be in a different phase, but are you in a phase where it's time to step up and express love by supporting Calvary, by attempting to come to the next Calvary activity or outreach or event? Or is it time to see how God can use your giftings and talents? I'm pretty excited that I saw a new bassist on the band this morning. That was a step, that's a process. So props to those individuals. So this morning, you bow your heads and close your eyes. Maybe you've been numb for a while. You've heard plenty of messages about love. You know what the Bible has to say about love. It's another message about love. But this morning you've been gripped and reminded that you are loved. That God loves you with all his heart, unconditionally. But the easiest way to express love is to accept his love. This morning, if you were someone that has not yet accepted his love, but you're willing to give him a chance, you give him the opportunity to reveal his love to you, whether it's your first time, second time, or third time, this morning, if you want to accept his love into your life so that you can be a better expression of love, would you just slip your hand up so I can see it? Pray together. There's a few hands that went. But we like to all pray to encourage that one person. Because it's not fun to stand in line by yourself or be the only person and be out there. But we are a family and we do things together. So repeat after me, please. Dear God, I admit I have dropped the ball. I have made mistakes. And I'm sorry. I believe that you are the Son of God, the one and only, the Messiah. And I confess that you are Lord of all. Help me to express love so that I can be more like you. We have a small team of prayer warriors that are going to be right over here. If you need prayer to further accept love, or you need prayer to find direction on what to do next, they'll be right here. We also have a team of next step coaches in the lobby. If you need direction on how to wash feet or serve, or what next event is coming up that you can be involved in, we encourage you. We want you to grow. We want you to thrive here at Calvary because we love Erwin. We love you.
An opportunity, just as Pastor Ron mentioned, to experience the love that God has for us. And we come from a variety of different backgrounds and different experiences, and maybe this was a good week for you, maybe this was a really difficult week for you. But the truth is that regardless of where you come from, this morning, there's a God that loves you. There's a God that cares for you. And we have this opportunity this morning to experience His love. And we're not going to formally dismiss, but we want to just take some time to worship God, to stay here and linger in His presence. If you're able to, you're welcome to spend some time as the worship team plays. If you have to go, you can be dismissed in a moment, but please do so quietly and not disturbing those that are worshiping.